Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
It's a lovely day here in San Francisco, and the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. Check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV, the coolest software. If you've created any kind of content, it's on a DVD, you need to pull it off, repurpose it, use it for another project or whatever, you can check that out at DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, an iPod, memory upgrades, you name it, they have it all. Check them out at MCETech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine at popphoto.com, American Photo Magazine at AmericanPhoto.com, or you can just go over to Pop Photo and get both that stuff over there. Creator Pro, the place for creative professionals at creativepro.com. Mac Update for the coolest softwares for your Mac at macupdate.com. The official printers of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less, at, of course, printingforless.com. And the Digital Production Buzz Show of Philip Hodges. Everything about post-production, production, distribution, you name it. Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, Brad, how are you?
Oh, doing great. You know, I was in Southern California last week, and it was beautiful. I was staying over by the coast, and it was about 70 degrees during the day. Just beautiful.
Nice, nice. Yeah. I mean, you went to the LA Final Cut Pro User Group meeting.
Yeah.
Michael Horton's gig.
Oh, yeah. There was a really good filmmaker who was presenting his stuff. He's still in film school, UCLA Film School, but he has a video on Google called Jonathan Birch. Actually, it's called The Misadventures of Jonathan Birch, and it looks really funny. I haven't had a chance to see the whole thing. We saw a little excerpt of it, but it's worth checking out. The guy is amazing. He did all this stuff on an XL2 and, of course, on a Mac in Final Cut Pro.
Pretty nice stuff.
It looks very professional.
And what's the film about?
It's about a guy. I think the film, the story of is, it's, well, I don't want to give it away, but it's about a guy who wishes for things. And it's kind of, the saying says, be careful what you wish for. You might just get it.
Ooh. That sounds fun.
Without giving it away, it's great. The parts that I've seen just look fantastic. Haven't seen the whole thing yet, but it looks fantastic.
Well, that's cool. And then I guess there was also someone down there from Apple talking about the new shake or the same shake.
Oh, but yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it's great now. I mean, now you can, now almost anybody can afford shake. It's only $500 from Apple, and it's a universal binary, and it's fast. They were demoing it down at the meeting. And it does some great stuff. Of course, this is sort of, this isn't your average sort of consumer type application. This is high-end stuff, but it does amazing things of ways of compositing images together and changing the texture and the tone of the images. And it also upscales, you know, changes the scaling of video and changes the time of video beautifully. It does a lot of things, but it really is something worth checking out and looking into if you're into video.
Yeah, but it's probably got a pretty steep learning curve, huh?
I don't think it does. You know, I think people have been overplaying that. I think once you get through the basics,
I guess you figure out what a node editing
once,
is.
I didn't, you know, the guy just connected the thing up and, you know, did it very simply. I mean, once you see somebody do it, I mean, I think it literally would just take you 5 minutes to learn this application. See somebody do it and then you got it. I mean, it just looks totally intuitive.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think it was nearly as complex as it seemed.
Anybody else at the meeting worthwhile to talk about?
I can't think off of hand.
I see Larry Jordan's got a new newsletter out now.
Oh yeah, Larry and a lot of people are working on a newsletter about Final Cut and some video, and it looks that looks pretty good. I'm not.
Are people going to pay $60 a year for this thing?
I'm not sure. Larry does some amazing stuff though. I mean, if you're into Final Cut, Larry is an excellent trainer. And he has great tips. I mean, he has really knows how to nail these tips. And of course, Philip Hodgett's going to be involved in it. Maybe he'll talk about it a little bit next segment.
Yeah, like I said, and Philip will be up here coming up next. And we're going to also have on this show Kevin Ames talking about 4th of July photo tips and how to shoot fireworks with your digital camera. We're going to have Richard Harrington on. Got a brand new book out, the Apple Training Series for iWork 06 and iLife 06. So we got a bunch of cool stuff coming up. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast-quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4. And they got a brand new beta out that's universal binary. You can check that out at micromat.com. Right now we're joined with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
I'm fabulous, Scott.
Excellent. Hey,
do you think production values count? The reason I ask is that Robert Scovel, who's a former Microsoft blogger, said there was a session at VloggerCon back up there in San Francisco just recently that basically people said, no, production values are not what we want. We want to be doing it all raw and native and not put all that gloss and stuff on there that makes it actually possible to hear and see what's going on.
Well, I think he's smoking crack.
I think so, too.
Is that Microsoft's approach to everything, that things should be... things should be crummier and worse off, and then they're better that way? You know, they're just rougher
around
the edges?
He was more in the context of VloggerCon, but his role at Microsoft was to go around and videotape things for their Channel 8, Channel 9 team. And he used only on-camera audio, no lighting, no proper staging or anything, and he claims that this was wildly successful, therefore, ergo, there is no need for production values.
Ah. I'm sure that'll go really well. Or that just is like, there's no need to test software either.
That's exactly right. You know, we don't care if it just fails on us. No. One of the commenters, and I think this is very true, some of the so-called grassroots people wear their poor production values as a badge of honor. You know, it's like, well, we don't care that it's bad. In fact, we prefer that it's bad because that makes us authentic and genuine. What they don't know is that authentic production values make it look like it's real, like it is, in fact, authentic.
Right, like it was shot with a cell phone camera, you know, at one frame, 3 frames per second or something, at, you know, postage stamp size.
Yeah. Well, you can do a whole movie on a cell phone. It's not that the SMS Sugar Man in South Africa was shot entirely on cell phones. So.
Yeah, well, the problem is that it's like, if you have enough distractions... during your video, people tune out. They miss the message. I mean, the whole idea is that when you're doing a video, is that you're delivering some kind of message from start to finish. And if there's too many distractions, people are just going to turn it off.
You know? Well, even with audio podcasting, you know, if somebody's got an audio podcast where the levels fluctuate wildly, what do I do? Do I turn it up loud enough so that I can hear the quiet passages and then get my eardrums perforated when the loudspeaker comes in? And then turn it back down again? That's not practical. It's just, I mean, apart from anything else, it's just not practical.
And oh, yeah. It just goes against the grain of everything that's been done in the last 100,000 years or so of attaining quality, you know?
Yeah, so you wouldn't go to a blogger who couldn't speak properly or write properly or, you know, constantly misspelt everything. If you want to see that, you go over to MySpace and check out your MySpace site.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So that was a little controversy. We talked a little bit more about that in the Digital Production Buzz show for last Thursday. So if anyone wants to check that out in the archives, that might be interesting to them. And some just news during the week. Kinemac, my favorite little 3D app, has gone to Universal with version 1.2 and some new features like the ability to import Autodesk 3DS files.
Oh, that's great, because now you're not relying on basic models. You can get, Autodesk 3DS files. I mean, there's... 5 billion of those.
Exactly.
They're literally everywhere. So if you need a specific prop or something for your image, or if you take it from another modeling program, you can import it to Kinemac and suddenly have 3D.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, because Kinemac is real-time, it's actually added support in for Apple's little remote control. So you can actually start, pause, and stop animations with your remote control.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. That's
can you cute. Do that? What would be really sweet is if you could do that all within Keynote. Almost said PowerPoint.
No. We don't do
what am I thinking? Within a Keynote presentation, if there was some kind of plug-in player that you could use, it would be really pretty interesting.
Yeah, he was invited to submit Kinemac into the Apple Design Awards, and actually is featured in this week's Apple e-news.
Wow.
Nice.
If you've been thinking of buying Kinemac, which is a very reasonable $249, you can actually go to your e-news this week and get a 30% discount code that's good for about another week. Isn't that sweet?
That's that puts it right around $200. I guess 30% to 40, you said? Yeah, somewhere in there, right around 200.
You're very quick on the math.
Yeah, I think. I mean, no, actually under 200. Depends on tax and value-added tax or wherever you live.
Yeah, you're probably value-added tax since he's an Italian living in France. Speaking of odd couples, Media 100 has shipped version 11 of the venerable Media 100 software, but this time, for the first time ever, without proprietary hardware. They're actually shipping it with AJA OEM cards, which, you know, looking at feature sets, are remarkably like the Xena and Kona range, Kona on the Mac. But the problem I see is that the pricing is, you know, relatively high compared with Final Cut, and it's a very hard sell to sell less is more. The big advantage of Media 100 software is it is very simple and straightforward to operate so that anybody can learn it very quickly. But that's very hard to sell as a benefit in a country where my observation is that more is always more.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to be, that's somehow they missed the mark in marketing. Now, that's owned by Boris, isn't it?
It is now owned by Boris, and I'm not sure I really understand the reasoning. I mean, there are some diehard Media 100 users that don't want to move on to anything else, and they would probably be the logical market for this. And it's nice. I mean, the hardware is embedded SDI, native HD. You can mix and match HD and SD in the one timeline. But we're getting pretty much those formats and same features in Final Cut Pro if you had that same hardware. So, hey, you know, just add the same hardware to Final Cut and get not only the same hardware features, but you get a much more powerful and much more flexible editing tool as well.
But how much is he asking for this?
Oh, your base model is $24.95. Your next level up, if you want mix HD and SD, you're looking at $3,500. And if you want to add, some compositing tools through the inclusion of Boris Red, I think you're looking at close to $4,500.
And it comes with a Kona card?
It comes with an AJA OEM card, but yes, remarkably like a Kona card.
Okay, so the guy's smoking crack.
Well, you know.
If you add the cost of Final Cut Studio to the cost of a Kona card, you don't come up to the cost of the highest level of Media 100. That's what I don't understand. It just does not seem priced right.
Right. I think it's a tough one.
It's got to be for people that are still just Media 100 diehards.
I'd say there. And there are certainly some of those. It's probably something under 5,000 people are still out there that are, you know, Media 100 is the first thing they learned, and it's the only thing they're going to learn in digital video. So, I was a little disappointed when Flash 9 came out without a universal version, but then very quickly afterwards, there's been released at least a beta of a universal version of Flash Player 9for us people on Intel Macs.
Oh, that's really good. I mean, that's nice because, I mean, Flash 9 has better video and you know, websites are starting to incorporate that now. And so, yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah, and Avid finally shipped Express Pro 5.5 and the Mojo SDI. Mojo SDI is another one of those products that I'm not sure why somebody would choose an underfeatured and overpriced interface, but the software is definitely very good and very well priced.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the whole Avid universe.
Yeah, the whole Avid universe is used to paying a little bit more. And an interesting little sidestep, I don't know but if you noticed, but a little software company, Bonus Software, got bought by Tool Farm because the principal's gone to Apple.
Ooh, cool stuff. Hey, Philip, thank you so much for joining us. You can check out Philip's show Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity.
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you want to take all this cool content that you've created, you put it on a DVD, either an iDVD or DVD Studio Pro or whatever, you want to pull it back off and do something else with it, who knows what, check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now, we're joined here by Andy Shallett. Andy is the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book, and he has his tip of the week. How are we doing, Andrew?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's pretty hot today, huh?
Not here in San Francisco.
Oh, it's beautiful down here. It's like, it's like 60 degrees outside.
Yeah.
It's with blue sky.
More like
invert
that 6 to a 9 out here, and that's what it is. Anyway, last week, if you recall, we were talking about image asset managers like iView Media Pro and Portfolio, and I made mention of that. In that week, iView was actually bought by Microsoft, just to let people know, so who knows what the future will hold.
Oh, so this is they're trying to get into the sort of iPhoto game sort of on the cheap by buying a company.
And as we know with Microsoft, they innovate by buying, yes.
Yeah, exactly. then then the innovation stops at that point.
Innovation by acquisition.
Acquisition.
Exactly. But also this week, I'm working on another book, and one of the projects in this book has to do with making your Mac a DVD jukebox, which means you can have all your movies or all DVDs, unencrypted DVDs, mind you. You don't want to steal DVDs and do things illegal. But there are some software out there that you can actually rip DVDs for your own personal use. I think it's legal. Maybe we're treading on thin ice here, but you can put it onto your hard drive, like for instance if you're traveling or something and you don't want to carry all these bulky DVDs, but you're on a plane, you want to watch some movies, there's a way to do that where you can have some software, I won't even mention them, but they're shareware and you can probably find them easily. You rip them into like an MP4 format, and when you store them, if you do rip them, or if you have your personal movies from your trips or whatever, and you put them into your movies folder, if you use Front Row. Now, Front Row comes with all the new Macs, all the ones with the new remote controls. It's a great, elegant interface for watching movies, listening to iTunes, and doing all these things. If you, for instance, I just got this new Mac Mini. I plugged it into the monitor is actually a flat screen TV, an HD TV, and so it's in my living room. And I have the Bluetooth keyboard and the Bluetooth mouse, so everything is there. And I switch between TV and then the Mac on my big screen TV. Using Front Row, you can watch these movies in beautiful full HD color. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's one of the things my software, DVDXDV, it allows you to do is do just that, to move the DVDs, as long as they're unencrypted, in an unencrypted form, to move them onto
that's,
the... Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, once you do that, you put them in, and you go to this forum. Even if you're giving presentations, it's wonderful because the Front Row, which not many people are talking about, but out of the box, this thing is a great little elegant interface. You don't have to worry about all the other stuff about setting it up right or anything. It just opens up full screen, and as long as you store them in your movies folder, you can just click through, and it also remembers where you stopped it. So if you quit out of it, when you go back to it, and this is just MP4 or QuickTime movies, if you go back, it'll say resume playing as though it were a DVD. If you're on DVD players, you go in there and if you stop watching it and you come back, it'll say resume playing from beginning or from where you stopped off. And this does the same thing.
Well, we only have about a minute left here, but the question I have is, okay, I can use DVDXDV to take software that I've made myself on a DVD, but what if I go buy the new Harry Potter movie? It's mine. What can I use to take that and stick that into my Mac Mini? Is it legal? Is it illegal? I own it. I bought a copy. I should be able to put that on my Mac, correct?
Okay. Now, I don't know about the legality, but I do know that there's software.
Hey, Andy, how do we get more information on the book, what you're up to?
Well, the book is on my website, which is shallett.com, and you'll hear more about from me in the next few weeks, I guess, as I finish up the current book. And we have something coming up with Inside Mac Press as well, don't we?
Yep. Thanks, Andrew.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Call. Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want a brand new MacBook Pro or a nice new shiny black MacBook or a new iPod or a SuperDrive upgrade for your old Mac, whatever, you can check these cats out at mcetech.com. Right now we're joined here with Sam Levin. Sam has his cool Mac picks of the week. How are we doing, Sammy?
Wonderful. So we've got a lot of fun toys, but you know, I tell you guys, the iPod train is not stopping. It's just ongoing. And these guys come out of the woodwork. I'm talking about peripherals and accessories. And, of course, you know, you keep hammering me, Scott, about the Griffin stuff. And I swear it's coming. You know, those cool docks that you want. It is coming. There's been a holdup, I think, in China or wherever the heck it is. But Vaha, our friends in Buenos Aires, Argentina, have come up with yet another line of iPod cases. They fit the iPod Video 60 and 30, and they're centering them around World Cup. So if you want some cool cases that have the colors of the World Cup teams, you've got to check out Vaha. It's Vaha Cases, V-A-J-A, cases.com. I tell you, Scott, Brad, there's nothing like these kind of cases. They're really, really well done. Everything is handcrafted. I don't know what leather they use, but there's nothing like this. Scott, you have one, right?
Yeah. They're definitely nice stuff.
It's just amazing. So they're available in multiple different colors. You can combine them with different colors. The front can be one color as opposed to the back. They're starting at $90. It's a high-ticket item, but I tell you, it's like the Ferrari of cases. Also, a new company on the scene has come up with a line of iPod cases, much less priced, called Vacadoo. And that's V-A-K-A-A-D-O-O. I know it sounds weird. They're out of London. It's called Vacadoo. That's Vacadoo.com. And they make a line of plastic cases that you can interchange the front and back. So with your friends, you can swap the front or back case with them. So it's pretty unique. It's nice. They're inexpensive. I believe they start in the $20 range, they're stylish. I don't know how to explain it, but they're just an interesting company. I don't know how I came up with this company. It's called Vacadoo. It might be Vacadoo. I don't know.
They're very unique, though. It's definitely a cool case.
It's cool. It's different. It's unique. Now, also, a little sneak peek for us, Radtech has just announced their Voltaic backpack and messenger bags. They just came on the scene. If you go to radtech.us, that's R-A-D-T-E-C-H.us, they just came out with these solar-powered backpacks that will power your iPod, your cell phone, your PSP, right on your back. It's very interesting. These guys from Voltaic Systems out of New York City, have designed a whole series of solar backpacks. You've got to check it out. I saw this last year at Macworld Expo. Really, really unique. And, of course, you can carry your PowerBook or your MacBook Pro. They will not power a MacBook or a PowerBook because of the battery size. But when you're walking around, hey, why not power your iPod while you're walking, or just leave it, you know, outside. It'll even power inside from the sun that comes through the window.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's $230 from Radtech. We should get one in the next few weeks, and you guys can go to town on it. That's it for me.
Cool. Thanks, Sammy. That was Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com. Next up here, we're going to have Kevin Ames on talking about cool tips on how to shoot fireworks for the 4th of July. Get that digital camera out and have some fun. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. They got a brand new website. You can check them out at popphoto.com. Right now, we're joined by Kevin Ames, a legendary digital photographer from a beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going to talk about cool techniques for shooting fireworks on the 4th of July. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
Good. So how's things going with Kevin? Just a little update on what's up with Kevin Ames.
Oh, things are going great here, except it's like every place else in the South, hot, humid, and miserable. It's summertime in Atlanta. Now you know why we really get the name Hotlanta.
It's warm. I was in Memphis yesterday, and it was about 100 degrees. And
100%. 100, 100.
That wasn't, you know, the humidity wasn't that bad.
It wasn't though. That bad? It was 100.
But it was warm.
Yeah.
It was warm. It's warm here.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got the 4th of July coming up, and our listeners are probably going to want to go out and shoot fireworks. And there's two ways that you can do it. There's the successful way and the way that's not going to work very well. And the successful way is pretty much going to require a tripod. Now, I know that kind of puts a damper on the spirits, but you have to do a time exposure in order to capture fireworks in the sky. So, here's how to do it. Set the camera with, believe it or not, a wide-angle lens, not a telephoto, because, you know, you'd think you'd want to use a telephoto so you could bring the image closer, and it's not the case, because you don't know exactly where that firework is going to go off. So let a couple of them burst, find out where they're going to be, and put your wide-angle lens on the camera. Now, I'm going to suggest that these want to be done with a digital SLR camera. And once you have the camera set up, put the ISO somewhere around 200 and the f-stop at f5.6. The shutter speed is going to be somewhere around 2 to 6 seconds. And the reason for that is because you don't know when the fireworks are going to go off. And you want to get multiple fireworks in one shot if you can. The new modern cameras that are out, Nikons, Canons, Olympuses, that have been bought within the last year or so, are ideal for this because they're able to shoot in low light with low noise. This is a breakthrough. Up until a couple of years ago, we couldn't do it at any price. I think the first camera that could really shoot in low light was the was Canon's 1DS Mark I. So things have come along very quickly for people who want to take pictures.
Now, that sounds really good. I mean, I know from one of the things that you would want that wide-angle lens for is because you can get relatively close to the fireworks. Obviously, you don't know where they're going off, but that actually will give you more light by being a little bit closer. So, you know, get in as close as possible, use the wide-angle lens.
Well, of course, that's the wide-angle lens actually gives you a bigger view of the sky. The wide-angle lens gives you some foreground, so if you have some people in the foreground, you're going to have some interesting silhouettes, or if you're up high, you're going to get some city lights. You might even get some stars in the sky and maybe even the moon. And if you shoot in RAW, this is really huge, if you'll set the camera to shoot RAW photographs, you can actually adjust the exposure in either the software that came with the camera or in Photoshop Elements, version 4 is ideal, or Photoshop CS2, because then you can actually grab the exposure slider, brighten them up a little bit, and then grab the brightness slider and do the same thing. And it allows you to really tweak the image. You can even take the color temperature slider and move it to the left just a little bit, and that will make the skies even bluer.
That'd be nice. I did this in the past in film, and it was a totally different process. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've done it a few times. It's just what's interesting is that one of the nice things is that if you have some water in your shot, you'll get the reflections off of water, because water, even if it's rippling, over time, it's when it's that long exposure, it just flattens out. It's like a mirror.
Oh, and it's really beautiful, too, particularly if there are ripples. If they're doing this over a lake, you might even want to just focus right into the lake, not even get the sky in and shoot just the reflections. It's a really terrific way of doing it. And like I say, you can actually check the work that's coming back on your LCD. Don't trust it, because it's not 100%. It's not like opening the files up in Photoshop. And it's a good idea of whether or not you're getting something that can be tweaked, particularly if you shoot raw. Raw images have 7 times more information in them than capturing in a JPEG. In a digital camera that can shoot raw, you can actually have 8 times more information. It captures everything the sensor can see. It's really powerful.
Now,
JPEGs are 1/8 of that, and they're thrown. All that information is thrown away if you're shooting JPEGs.
Kevin.
Yes.
What do you think about this acquisition of iView Media Pro by Microsoft?
I think it's exciting. I think it's very interesting, because both Microsoft and Apple are finally paying attention to photographers. And I've been talking to one of the folks at iView Media Pro, and I have a meeting on the 6th, and we're going to go over some of the new things that they've got. And I'll know more for our listeners next time I'm on. I think it's interesting, because the big software manufacturers of operating systems are finally paying attention to those of us that are professional and serious amateur image makers. And that really leaves the two big players in the field right now are iView Media Pro and Extensis with their Portfolio 8 product.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Microsoft is making a move. Blue Pixel's Reid Hoffman was just named one of their 6 icons of photography. And, of course, one of the requirements for Microsoft to do that is people use Windows. And it's going to be very interesting, because Windows XP really flies when you run it on a Mac.
From what I've seen is that a lot of the pros are really on the Mac. Isn't this kind of like Microsoft trying to just sort of get into an area where they're not as strong? You think they're just making entry?
You think? Could that possibly be what they're thinking? Yeah, of course it is. I mean, imaging is what it's all about. We've seen the new Mac ads. I'm a Mac. I'm a PC. Microsoft has to do something, because... Wow, I would think that if you had an operating system as powerful as OS X and with Core Image inside, I would be really afraid if I were Microsoft and couldn't deliver Vista. Be worried.
Well, they can. They've pushed it off, and, you know, whatever.
Well, we've got the WWDC coming up, where it's rumored that Steve is going to announce Leopard. It's going to have the boot camp technology built right into it. So this means that a photographer can buy a Macintosh and leverage whatever software is available for the first time. And that gives an Apple-using photographer a huge leg up over someone that's just working on a PC.
Now you've used Photoshop CS2 on both platforms.
Yeah, I've got it on both.
Any difference? Anything you can notice? Is one have an advantage over the other? I heard a big problem is Photoshop runs the same, but when you go to save and open files, the PC's a lot slower.
Well, and of course, that depends on the bus rate and all of that. Those of us that are dyed-in-the-wool Macintosh users are used to things working really, really well. And I don't let my PCs get on the internet. And,
Yeah, that's a big problem. I mean,
it's difficult right now to get a laptop in the Windows world that has a gigabit Ethernet in it, and all of the Macs do. It's just standard. And it's a different world out there. And now, thanks to Apple's boot camp, and there's also a new software that I've been playing with from Parallels.com.
Oh, yeah, that runs natively inside a window. It's about $50. What do you think?
It's on sale. It's $50 until the 15th of July. Then it's $79, I think. And it works really, really well. It actually emulates Windows on the Intel side. So they're able to actually hook into the Intel processors and run Windows right inside a window in the Mac OS. So you can run it without having to reboot. Now, I haven't run Photoshop on it yet. I will get back to you on that. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see how there's some convergence going on.
Kevin, we have about 45 seconds. Where's the next place you're going to be at speaking, and how do they get a hold of you?
Okay. kevin@amesphoto.com, and that's also my website. The next speaking engagement is Photoshop World in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. Check out photoshopworld.com. And then I kick off my 16-city, Blue Pixel-sponsored professional digital workflow tour with Kevin Ames. They've actually given me billing this time, if you can imagine it. That's going to be on September 27th. The announcements, as always, we did it first right here on Inside Mac Radio.
That's it.
Check out my website for more information.
Thanks, Kevin. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by American Photography Magazine, American Photo, the coolest magazine for high-end professional digital photography. You can check them out at popphoto.com, all combined now with a new popular photography and imaging website. So you can get Pop Photo, American Photo, all right there. One place, one convenient, easy little place to get all your cool stuff. So, yeah, so the whole fireworks deal, cool. Like you said, you need a tripod.
Yeah, and a good tripod. And if it's windy out, you need a real big, heavy tripod, because any shake will just blur out that photo. I'm actually surprised the way he did it, because one of the things that I would have recommended, I guess you could try it both ways. Rather than doing a timed exposure, just let the camera meter itself, because, you know, when you're watching fireworks, sometimes you get a lot of light, sometimes you get very little light, depending on where the firework is.
Where you're at and where the fireworks are and the reflection off the water.
I think it maybe you could try it both ways, doing a timed reflection and then do it, I mean, timed shutters and then doing just basically
auto. I've always
shutter.
Had good luck is setting like F8. You know, with like 5 seconds.
Yeah, and sometimes the other thing about it is if you're very far away from the fireworks, you might want to bump up the ISO if the shutter time gets kind of long. What's one of the nice things about shooting digital is that you can adjust the ISO up. As long as the shutter is open, the sensor gets noisier and noisier. And so as you get to like 30 seconds, your image is as noisy as if you shot it with like 800 in a shorter period of time.
Yeah.
So, of course, if you want that longer exposure, then, you know, you need the 30 seconds, but there are some real trade-offs with shutter time and image sharpness and, of course, the f-stop and all of these things.
But even that stuff you can play with. But I think the biggest tip and takeaway is to, A, use a tripod. The biggier, the beefier, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to remotely trigger your camera, either with a cable or with an electronic remote, so you do not touch the thing.
Yeah, you could also use the timer release.
Timer works,
timer
too.
Release, too, as well. Yep. That's another way I've learned, because I have had the remote, too, as well. And remotes, I have a wireless remote for mine. I think a cable remote just feels a lot better to use. You know that when you push the button, it's going to go off, and when you release it, it's gonna close the shutter.
Right.
So it's a good way to go.
It is. It's fun stuff. We have some more cool stuff lined up for the rest of the Inside Mac show.
Yeah.
We're going to have Bob Dr. Mac Levitis on.
Dr. Mac.
Dr. Mac's going to be on. We're going to have Richard Harrington on talking about the brand new Apple Training Series book, iWork 06 and with iLife 06. So this is using iWork with iLife. Pretty cool gig.
Yeah, well, I've been a huge fan of both of those suites. You know, it's one of the reasons why you'd want to go out and get a Mac is just because they have iWork and iLife, you know, basically built in. I mean, it's a huge advantage. iWork especially because of Pages and all of the keynote presentation software and iLife because, of course, you know, you have all of the multimedia stuff. So it's great.
Very true.
So what else is going on this week? I know we had some interesting stuff with, there's a new version of QuickTime out.
New version of QuickTime out. There's a new version of iTunes out. There's a new version of Mac OS X out.
So it was a big release week for Apple.
10.4.7 is out, so you can get that through your software update preference pane or go to apple.com and download it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new version of QuickTime out. That is 7.1.2,
I think. Yeah, 7.1.2.
7.1.2.
Haven't played with that one yet.
I got it. It's working good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everything's great. And then, of course, there's a new version of iTunes that's 6.0. What is it here?
A lot of dots.
6.0.5. version 20. It's actually 6.0.5 and the 20 in brackets.
That's about as far out. It's probably really stable by that point. It's got so many dots in it. It's working good. The more dots, the more better.
Oh, and I don't know if people noticed, Dave, they took away the... When you look at iTunes podcasts in the top 100, they've removed the
comedy
options for comedy sports, but it's coming back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
Talk
good.
To Apple. It's coming back.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's just a temporary thing right now, but it is going to be able to do so. If you want to see what's really happening in the world of sports, you can pull down the menu for sports, all that kind of stuff. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. We've had a pretty nice show for you today. The Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat DVD XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. So far this, we've talked with Philip Hodges about the digital post-production news of the week. We had Andy Shalalon doing the Mac design out of the box, talking about taking content and getting it into your Mac menus in Front Row. We should talk about that some more.
Yeah, we should.
Well, what's, you know, here's the question, okay? I go down and buy the new Harry Potter CD. I own it. Okay, I have all exclusive rights to play this in my home as many times as I want. Well, who says I can't put it on my computer and watch it on my TV?
I don't know. I really don't know the legal issues behind it, but it's one of those things. I mean, I think what going more towards it is that what people really want is, you know, they want, when you have all of these devices and you have like a VCR and you have a DVD player and you have all of these things coming together, it makes very complicated to get them all together into one device. And I think people want something that's simple. And Front Row and the Mac Mini make it very simple to get at your CD collection, at your potentially your movie collection, of course, at your DVDs, whatever kind of media or, you know, video that's you've downloaded off of iTunes. Just everything is right there. It's convenient. It's like having a stack of just 10 or who knows how many devices all set up. And of course, you can get your cable internet feed with the guy that we talked with, the company that we talked with last weekend about using the TV Mini HD. That's about $250. But you have just a really simple way of setting things up and making it very easy. I think that's what people want. I think there's just too many. It just creates too much clutter in your life. And I think just simplifying things, just put your Mac Mini in there and connect it up to your flat panel TV or to your projector or whatever you have through a DVI port, and you're done.
Yeah, and Andy just chimed in on iChat. He said Mac the Ripper's been shut down.
Oh,
the man
well,
got him.
Oh.
The man got him. So, yeah. You know, there's another piece of software that I have that I paid $100 for. It's called Fast DVD Copy.
Yeah.
It does the encryption thing too.
Right.
But it's $100.
Right.
And then all that is break that. You know, there's another thing, too, is, you know, if you buy a DVD, I should be able to install it on my PowerBook and watch it off the hard drive. Because it takes a lot less juice to
yeah,
watch
it does.
A movie off the hard drive.
Yeah, it does. You know, it does take some time to do these encodings and these transfers. So it's
well, that's another thing. Here's another thing, too. It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're running a four-processor G5, it takes so long on a PowerBook to break encryption code and then re-encode all this stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, unless you value your time at like a nickel a week,
yeah,
it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You're better off already going to spend $15 on another copy of the movie.
Well, I think one of the things about it is that I think the real benefit is when iTunes is able to provide these movies so you can just download them off, you know, just purchase them, just get them for very
well, that's
expensive.
Going to be cool too, but what if you already own the thing on
yeah,
DVD?
I think, and then
so I got to buy
and then
Harry
it's
Potter
of,
again?
Right, and then it's like you get the situation where they're out of print and so on and so forth, and so it is complicated. I hope that there will be some resolving of this whole thing at some point in the future.
You know, the greedy sleazebags in Hollywood are not going to let you do
anything
with it.
Well, it's not just greed. The problem is that, you know, you go to China and there's just every single movie available, even before it comes out in the theaters, and they're selling for like $3 on the street. And so there are some real serious issues around this thing. And so hopefully we'll get it resolved. Hopefully we'll get it worked out soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if it's your media and you paid for it, you can do whatever you want with it. As long as you don't give it away or show it in public, you own it, brother. You bought the rights to view that movie. Because I'm telling you, a piece of polycarbonate in a plastic box ain't worth $20. So you're buying the right to watch the gig. I don't know. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listened online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you want to find the coolest place to get all the great technical support and inspiration, if you're a creative professional, just go over to creativepro.com. They got everything you need. Cool stuff. Right now, we're joined here by Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Good. So last time we talked, you were playing with a brand new MacBook Pro, and you started putting in boot camp, but now you've been playing with Parallels and maybe some more of this nasty Windows stuff. How's
yeah,
all that working out?
It makes me feel really ooky, but it's very cool.
Really?
I think for Apple, it's very cool. Because Apple now, you know I don't use Windows, and you know that I don't care if my Mac runs Windows.
Right.
But the fact that it does and that it does it so well is rockin' awesome for Apple. What it means is there's only one company in the world that can sell you a computer that can run Windows or Mac OS or Linux or who knows what else.
You can run
BOS.
But
nobody else can run Mac OS X.
Right.
So, you know, if you need Windows for this or that occasionally, you can't buy a Dell.
Well, you know, it really does. It's exactly that kind of a point. You know, there are people that are, they have networks. Maybe they work at a company, and they really want to use a Mac. But the company is forcing them to use certain Windows programs which are not available on the Mac. So now they can just get a Mac, and they can run those couple of little teeny tiny programs, and then they can get rid of it and go on, you know, with the rest of their work, all virus-free and shareware, you know, spyware-free and everything. Just
that's correct.
Great.
And you know, both products run at pretty good speeds. Parallels really is pretty surprising how fast it runs. It wouldn't be good for playing games. But for everything else, for web browsing and running, you know, bread and butter productivity apps, it really does. It's a lot speedier than virtual PC on a power PC was.
Really?
Oh yeah. So noticeably.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's usable. It's you know, not hard to use.
I guess I would bet Bobby that in this new version of macOS 10.5, whatever they're going to call it. I would think they should be able to make you do like fast user switching between macOS and Windows.
Either that, or the ability to
just run the
use
stuff.
Virtualization technology to just run your Windows stuff side by side.
That would be a trip.
Like well, in fact, you know what? If Apple was smart, they'd buy Parallels. I'm serious.
Well,
that would be a great feature to build in. You could turn it on if you needed to. And, you know, your Mac OS X would be Windows compatible.
Well, there are some certain hardware issues. One of the things about it is that you have to sort of emulate the graphics card for Parallels to work inside of a window.
If Apple owned it, don't you think they could figure out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you could switch to sort of a full screen mode where, I mean, I think there's something like this available in the chipset where it can actually has assistance for doing virtualization. If you can switch into a full screen mode for like playing a game or for doing something that really requires full screen mode, that would be perfect.
I agree. Microsoft may actually be interested in buying Parallels because they're far behind on virtual PC for Intel. They won't say when it's coming out, but...
Well, I think that was more of a situation where there was a little bit of a conflict between Apple and Microsoft. I have to give them the benefit of the doubt there. I think
maybe
they were having some...
Yeah. Microsoft's answer was, we're working on it. I asked them at Macworld, you know, what's going to happen to Virtual PC? Are you going to do a new one for Intel Macs? And they said, yes.
We're working on it.
I can't tell you when.
It's in the same line of code as Vista. Somewhere off in the horizon with a bovine walking off the edge of the cliff with Michael Dell.
Vista.
Goodbye.
Hasta la vista.
Someday, huh?
Yeah. Now, Bobby, tell us, you are working on some new books.
I am. Well, I'm working on, as you might expect, pretty soon I'll start working on Leopard for Dummies.
Yeah.
And I'm working on a video for GarageBand users.
Really?
How to use GarageBand video.
Oh, you actually playing guitar in it?
A little.
All right.
Mostly I'm playing keyboards, but you know, it's instructional. I don't want to drive the customer away by making them listen to me play too much.
Is information yet available where someone could find this, or?
No, but I'll let you know.
Okay,
it's 2 months from being finished, even.
Oh, so it'll be something nice for the holiday season.
Yeah, it'll be out definitely for the holiday, and it'll be 8 hours of instruction, and it won't be very expensive.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, and it's fun. I'm having a really good time doing it. You know, GarageBand's just the coolest program.
It is fun.
Really a cool program.
Yeah, and you know, I did a little video on that for Inside Mac where you can actually create ringtones straight out of GarageBand and download them into your cell phone.
Yeah.
And I think that's just slick because, you know, you can really customize something that's your own thing. And it's really easy to do that just with the built-in loops. Make a couple of measures of a song and then just shoot it out there.
Yep.
So it's
totally fun.
It's just great.
And it's great for podcasting. You know, it's like there is no easier way. It comes with sound effects. It comes with stingers and intros and outros. I mean, everything you need is right there in the $80 box that also includes all these other really good programs like iMovie, iDVD, you know.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good deal.
It would cost you thousands of dollars to acquire all of this stuff, you know, before there was iLife.
Or to acquire it all for Windows, and then there's no guarantee it'll all work together.
Oh, and it certainly won't work all together.
Usually not, right?
Bobby, what's some other cool stuff you've been playing with? Because I know you do a lot of review stuff. You write for the Houston Chronicle. Anything else that's really caught your eye lately and said, wow, this is just cool?
Well, I'll tell you one that's going to be cool. I got one of those Tech Tool Protégés finally.
Yeah?
And it's not Intel ready. They're in beta for the Intel version.
Right.
But when that comes out, assuming it can boot both kinds of computers, that's going to be a great thing, a little thumb drive that boots your computer with all your diagnostic stuff on it.
That is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody thought of that before. It's a cool idea. And what else? There isn't really that much going on right now. I mean, if you haven't seen Apple's iLife stuff running on an Intel machine, run to the Apple Store immediately and take a look.
Because yeah, it's fast.
It's unbelievable how good. You know, if you haven't seen that, and what's really cool is all the pro apps fly. I mean, fly, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I was running Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro, and it was amazing. It was like on a little laptop, I could probably run 48 tracks.
Well, now that they reduced the price for Shake, why can't we have an affordable version of Logic Pro? As that's what I want.
Well, there is. There's Logic Express for $299, and you know what?
Yeah.
It's perfect for getting to know Logic because it's the stuff that you need the most. And if you decide you need more horsepower, you need more better-sounding instruments and higher resolution, then you can buy the expensive kind.
Yeah, I know, but I like that price drop from $3,000 to $500.
Yeah,
that's a good.
In fact, I may review Shake now. At $3,000, it was like none of my readers is going to buy that.
Hey, Bobby, how do we get more information on Dr. Mac Direct, what you're up to, your books, and all the cool stuff with Dr. Mac?
www.boblevitas.com.
Bobby, thanks so much for joining us today. You have a great 4th of July, and we'll talk to you very soon here, buddy.
Always a pleasure, and you too.
Thanks, Bob. That was Bob, Dr. Mac Levitas, the king of Macintosh. Like you said, check it out, boblevitas.com.
Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to get all the software on your Mac updated quick, easy, efficient, in and out, not a bunch of ads, 40 pages to click through? Well, you need Mac Update. You can check them out at macupdate.com. Right now we're joined with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac daily news program. Hello, Dina. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brad. I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you guys?
Lovely.
Awesome. It's beautiful out there. It's good, you know.
It's a nice day in San Francisco.
Yeah, it was a little foggy coming in. I was worried, but once we got in this area, it got really nice and sunny. A little chilly, a little breezy, but it's nice.
Oh, it's nice. It's
much nicer than it was. I was in Detroit yesterday.
Oh,
and it was lovely.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
We apologize. Actually, I think it was worse than Memphis.
It was worse than, well, that's what I say, worse than Detroit, you know.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
It's going to be a fun week then, huh?
Oh, yeah. So what's happening in the world of Macintosh? Let's touch on a couple of the big stories this week from the land of Mac.
Well, there are a lot of huge stories, a lot of releases, too. The past week, Apple released updates for QuickTime, iTunes, and iPod. The QuickTime update fixes issues with previewing iDVD projects. The iTunes update allows you to preview, buy, download music videos, short films, and TV shows and sync them with iPod. It also allows you to sync with Nike and iPod workout data to NikePlus.com. Helps you track your progress, set training goals, and challenge others. The iPod update fixes a few bugs and offers support for Nike and iPod, and all the downloads are available on the software update utility and Apple's website. So lots of stuff going on with all the updates there.
That's all cool. I'm still trying to figure out this whole shoe and the iPod gig. I mean, I looked at the interface and it gives you some kind of stride information, or it's getting like, it's almost like a pedometer.
Yeah, but I really think the ultimate product was that little GPS watch, you know, where it tracks your entire workout and everything. I mean, I think that's still the hot product. Although the Nike one might be all right.
Yeah, if you go to the iTunes download, you can go to the Nike store also. You can get mixes for your workouts and, you know, inspirational athletic stories and all that stuff too. So it's kind of cool.
I just wonder what happens if you're like step in a puddle or you're running in the rain.
Yeah. I've had that question too. Wait a minute. You gotta jump over everything.
Splashed and everything shut off, you know.
It's a cool idea though, and it's nice to see that other brands are integrating and working with the iPod. It just shows the iPod gaining more critical mass when you see other companies making stuff like
that. It's kind of iPod everywhere, you know. You got really good car options now, and you've got,
you know what I want to see though? I mean, they have options to stick the iPod and maybe there's a connector, but I want to see in a new car an actual dock and a place in the dash made for your iPod to go click.
Oh yeah.
When that happens, then you know.
Well, BMW, I'm waiting to see this update for BMW, which actually would integrate straight into their iDrive system, and so you would see your entire playlist on the screen. And it's surprising, the interface for the iDrive is almost identical to the iPod in the way it clicks and moves. So it could be really interesting. You just hit the, you know, I mean, it's almost identical. It's almost like they were born of the same type of style.
You mean the BMW copied Apple's interface?
I think that, well, you know, I would say that. It is the ultimate driving machine.
Yeah, I'm on.
Well, speaking of brands, you know, going to iPod and iTunes, this week Coca-Cola announced, since MikeCoke.com closed its doors a few weeks ago, you know, Coca-Cola company decided that a deal with Apple to offer Coca-Cola sponsored content on iTunes would give soft drink company what it needs to maintain its edge in the soft drink, you know, the market, the huge market. It's also going against Pepsi, who did this a few years ago and actually distributed 1 million songs through iTunes. So Coca-Cola is getting in on the action, and even MTV a few days ago decided that they're going to offer more shows and more networks on iTunes as well. Downloadable Spike TV, Nick at Night, TV Land, something called Logo. I've never heard of Logo before. MTV.
Me neither. No.
And there's another one, The N.
Part of those 1,000 cable channels you can get with the extra package from every cable system. So,
yeah.
But it's still cool. I mean, it's just showing more content on iTunes, more TV stations, more producers, more broadcasters. It's just putting the hurt every step of the way right on the bovines, running off the cliff, brother. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program here with Dino Orlando. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official partners of the Inside Mac radio program. If you want the coolest print jobs done, real ink on paper, not digital, check them out, printingforless.com. We're here with Dino Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News program. We've been talking about some stories going on in the Mac space. How are we doing, Dino?
We're doing great.
So what else is happening in the world on Mac?
Well, DRM continues as the French lawmakers gave final approval to legislation that could result in Apple's closing down its French iTunes music store. According to the Associated Press, France's lower house voted in favor of the copyright bill, which marked the final legislation step before the bill becomes law and prevents the success of the legislative step before the bill becomes law and prevents the success of the last-ditch constitutional challenge filed last week by opposition. France recently voted to soften the bill that includes a loophole for digital music vendors, but it also offers record labels more leverage in music pricing and negotiations. Apple fought to keep the price at 99 cents and had voiced discontent regarding the amended law and implied that they may pull their French iTunes store if the bill passes. Meanwhile, I thought this story was very interesting. An AP writer reported that the Boston-based Free Software Foundation has launched an online petition and has asked U2's Bono to help them fight against copy protection technologies they feel restrict consumer rights to freely use the music and art they love they've purchased. The Free Software Foundation wants to eliminate DRM restrictions through its so-called Effective by Design campaign, and they feel that a more liberal access and usage models will help increase sales by widening the base of art lovers. The campaign has held demonstrations outside Apple retail stores and the offices of the Recording Industry Association of America, but now it's taken a step further by asking Bono for help, whose rock band, as you're well...
has a U2 iPod.
Yeah, talk about the king of capitalist swine. And they're trying to talk King Boy into helping them with their little cause. All they are is a bunch of commies.
Oh, come on. You ask away, he will follow.
They're trying to defeat capitalism. DRM is they're trying to hold the copyright and what people own. Is what they're doing is they're trying to open this up like a bunch of commies.
Okay, if Bono is listening, we're very sorry, Bono. You're not a commie. We're sorry, Bono. It's like, but as he probably is listening, I'm sure he listens to this show.
Oh,
but
exactly. He spends all his time listening inside.
I know, and he's suddenly unsubscribing on iTunes right now. But
he's not a commie. But what I'm telling you though is these cats are, because they're trying to defeat. This is capitalism, okay? You own a copyright, you had to protect your intellectual property, and the commies are trying to make it so it's all free love, brother. Okay? The commies are at it again, trying to stop capitalism.
Well, I think the problem is that, I think you're definitely right. There is like there's a movement of that everything should be free, and nobody should pay for anything, and there should be just,
and taxes should only be 90% instead of 50.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not realistic. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. But by the way, the representative for Bono has not returned any calls for comments.
Oh, so, no.
I figure.
It's like asking Bill Gates to open up Microsoft Windows.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, you know, you're giving all your money away now and you're going to quit. So why don't you just open up the source code to Windows? It should be free, dude. Oh, sure. No problem.
Yeah.
Right. Go learn another rock in that crack pipe.
Well, actually, I found it interesting while you guys were talking about integrating iPods into cars and all that. A story that I came across last week was about that main thing. It was about, you know, the younger generation, you know, growing up basically with iPods. They want to have something in their cars so they can use iPods. So there's, I think, increasingly going to have a chance to get a new...
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, you are going on a big trip and you're not taking your CDs, you're taking your iPod. I think the iPod, the CD could very well be the next 8-track tape in the car.
Yeah, and radio. Wow, watch out.
Well, you just listen to podcasts. There
exactly.
You go.
That's about it. That's all I've got.
Dina, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Have an enjoyable weekend.
I will. You too.
That was Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Radio Daily News Program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. Next up, we're going to have Richard Harrington. We'll be right back.
Thanks for calling. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was, working on the final version of the annual report, when boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show was brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodgetts. Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. All things production, post-production, digitalproductionbuzz.com.
Yes.
Right now, we're here with Richard Harrington from Red Pixel. He is the author of the brand new Apple Training Series book, iWork 06 with iLife 06. Richard, how are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So tell us, you got a brand new book out.
Yeah, it came out actually at NAB, and it's been doing well. We decided to Apple finally got around to putting out a book on iWork, and because they really beefed up the integration with iLife, we decided to really make sure that the book focused on how to use those apps together. A lot of people have been using iLife for a long time, and we wanted to show them how, you know, you can use iWork both for business projects and to really take some of those personal projects and just push them that much further. So we did things like, you know, let's start something in GarageBand and make a soundtrack and bring it in and use it in a presentation, or let's take a movie from iMovie and export it and optimize it so you can drop it in a presentation, and we did a podcast and things like that.
Tell us some other cool stuff about using iLife with iWork, some more tips about that, because I know you did some stuff before using, and I think you might even be working on something is really using Keynote to do other stuff with. There's a Keynote, there's so much stuff you can do with Keynote, and that's part of, I guess, you know, with the iWork stuff, and it's a great program.
Yeah, Keynote came out first before Pages. There's currently two programs in iWork. You've got Keynote and you've got Pages. Keynote is primarily for presentations, and it's, you know, for giving anything from business presentation to displaying your portfolio for potential clients if you're a photographer, which is actually one of the chapters in the book, to building, you know, actual interactive kiosks. So one of the chapters in the book, we actually build something that could be right out of a high school science project or a museum. We do this tour of desert animals, and you actually have buttons and links and embedded web pages, and when you launch it, it runs as a self-run kiosk. And, you know, the nice thing about iWork is, for those of you who are experienced with iLife, your media browser ties right into it. So, you know, you can take your photos, your music, your movies that you've created, and they're all available with the click of a button. It's really easy to integrate.
Now, what you're saying is that you did one of these little things where it takes over the entire computer screen, sort of runs in Flash, and then you can sort of navigate.
Not Flash. It runs actually right out of Keynote, or you can export it to a QuickTime movie, and then it'll actually run cross-platform. And what it does is it embeds links, so you can click on a specific title and jump to a specific page of the presentation, or click on a web link and view a web page, or have video run, and you can actually set it up so, like if you wanted to, let's say you were in a gallery or in a museum and you wanted to run something, an educational display, maybe in the front of your company lobby, you know, you can actually keep people from exiting out of the application, and, you know, they could browse through a sort of a guided exhibit. It's just one of many uses. You know, we also did things like taking a photographer's portfolio and laying out a whole portfolio. Keynote actually supports high-definition screens, so you can use the beautiful cinema display and you know, show your photography portfolio off and set it up with timing so it runs automatically, put music underneath, all sorts of things like that.
Wow. I've never seen Keynote done that way. So actually, this is a way of just making quick little presentations for even museums and things.
Yeah,
like
presentations,
use a touch screen,
portfolios,
and
educational projects, you name it. Keynote came out first. So, you know, because Keynote's been around a little longer, I would say about 60%, 65% of the book is Keynote-based, and then the other 35% is based around Pages, which is the word processing and page layout application that's part of iWork. And we do things like we build a newsletter for a health club as a sample project, and then you go in and you build a whole marketing kit for a band, a one-sheet, a postcard, flyer to promote the band, a poster, and you really learn how to take, you know, Pages has these great built-in templates but we immediately go beyond that and show you how to customize them, change the color, use your own images, change the fonts, and output it to everything from PDF to a computer file to your printer, et cetera. So it's, you know, it's really a versatile package. I mean, even though I work in the professional imaging space and I have access to lots of other professional tools that cost more money, I find, for example, we use Pages for our company newsletter just because it's so easy and produces such great results, and it's really nice because everyone in the office can use it. It's fairly intuitive. It has all that nice benefit of Apple. Not to say that you don't need training or you don't need to read a book, but I've found that, you know, the programs don't tend to scare off new users because they tend to be very friendly.
Yeah, that's very true.
So what's your thoughts on the whole Pages piece of stuff? It seems to be pretty handy and easy to use.
It's useful. The you know, the nice thing that they expanded is they added a lot more great templates. So, you know, we use it for proposals. I had an intern at my shop who needed to put together a new resume because they were graduating school. They sat down, were able to put together a great resume. You got newsletter templates. You got invite templates. You got form letters. You've got, you know, actually things like high school yearbooks. There's a template in there so a school could put together their own yearbook. It's that versatile. So it's, you know, and it's, what's nice is it supports Photoshop files with transparencies. You can drag them right in. You know, it's really a friendly program, and it, you know, tends to do nice things like wrapping and really good text formatting. So
yeah, I really felt that in using Pages a lot that you could do things much more easier and quicker than you could really with Illustrator, really any other. I mean, I can't think of any other application where you could do it so intuitively to build those type of things.
Yeah, it's got great starting points. You know, it's really you know, I've talked with a lot of different users from different backgrounds, and you know, a lot of people find it. You know, a lot of people that were drawn to, let's say, PageMaker in the past find Pages to be a very useful program. It doesn't replace the need for, you know, for some professional outputs, you know, high-end newspapers, book publishing, to turn to something like InDesign or Quark. But for the average user, it's a very unintimidating program. All your controls are in one floating palette. You could switch between tabs and access everything. You get instant feedback on screen as you drag things and move it around. You can mask objects. You can drop in photos, change their shape, adjust the images right there with the same controls you have in iPhoto. Same thing with Keynote. So, you know, instead of having to kick the photo back out, go to an image editor, make your corrections, save it, update it, relink it, drop it back in, you can just make a change right there. So it takes what I would say about 85 or 90% of the people need and puts it right in a very friendly program. And both of them cost under $100 together, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, between the two of them, you can record the band, publish all of their web page, you know.
Yeah, you
and
take iLife and iWork
everything
together. You really have
shoot
everything.
Shoot the video
for a small business, or even for, you know, personal use, or a home based business, or, you know, iWork sort of takes all that's great about iLife and builds upon it, and gives you really the ability to take what you have in iLife and share it with people. You know, give the presentations, make the computer presentations, put the newsletter together, make the invites, you know, put together a resume or a poster. It's really a nice program. And the nice thing about Pages, too, is, you know, it goes right to a PDF file. So, you know, I always tell people, they're worried, well, you know, how am I going to get this printed? All you have to do is make a PDF file, drop it on a thumb drive, walk down to Kinko's or your neighborhood print shop, give them the PDF file, and it'll print exactly as how it looks on your screen, which is the benefit of PDF.
You know, Pages is so cool. We did some flyers, actually, for Macworld in Pages.
Mm-hmm.
Sent that file off to Printing for Less. And they did full offset print job right out of Pages.
Yeah, I mean, it supports PDF. And, you know, the whole printing industry, the whole concept behind PDF is what you see on your screen should be extremely close to what you get out of your printer, especially, you know, if you just have that conversation with the printer to make sure you're using the right printer setup. But, you know, it's pretty straightforward. And, you know, it's really nice. And so they're both really good programs. I've been fans of them since they've come out. And I was really glad, you know, we wrote the book as our whole shop with Red Pixel. So while I was writing, the team was building all the projects because we had to turn the book around really quick because they wanted, you know, the program, they have updated the program every year at each Macworld. And so, you know, they announced the new version at Macworld and we wanted to have all the new features covered because there's a lot of changes from iWork 05 to iWork 06. And so we had to really make sure we got everything in there and got it, you know, out right away so people can learn about the product.
So you wrote the book actually in Pages about Pages. Is that true?
No, but I don't think I can't attest to that, but I'm pretty sure traditional publishing uses, you know, we wrote the book, and then traditional publishing does what it does, which they tend to use InDesign or Quark for layout.
Yeah.
I can't attest to what they do. But you know, I've used Pages for several things. You know, Pages is designed for the small business, for the home user, you know, for people that need to do, let's say, outputs of, you know, maybe a 30, 40-page sort of thing, a catalog, a menu, you know, those sorts of things. It's great for that. The professional printing industry has all sorts of rules and other things that I don't want to touch. I don't understand. I write it. I send off folders. They put it all together. Books come out. It's like black magic.
Richard, how do we get more information on Red Pixel? Richard Harrington, you're going to be at Photoshop World. You're the king of NAB. How do we get a hold of you?
My company's website is redpixel, redpixel.com, and I just launched a new blog, actually, called raftervector.com. RASTERVECTOR.com.
Richard, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Richard Harrington, the man. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want the coolest tips, information, everything you need about Mac OS X, daily news for Mac Update, all the stuff for Mac Update, everything from the Apple Developer Connection, Apple Hot Deals, you name it, it's all there. Check it out, osxfaq.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
Pretty interesting show today.
Yeah, we sure did. We covered the full gamut of everything possible in the Mac universe today. Definitely.
Yeah, you know, we got cool tips on how to shoot, you know, digital photography for fireworks for the 4th of July coming up.
Really very cool shooting fireworks. You'll be surprised at what you get when you start getting light and these fireworks make beautiful patterns because you get multiple firework bursts together. It's really something you got to try.
Yeah, it's definitely got to try that. And, you know, there's cool stuff with iWork because Pages 2 is cool and the new iWeb that's the new version.
Yeah, I think there's stuff that I didn't even realize about that, which you actually can use Keynote to drive a kiosk presentation. I thought you could only do that with Flash. I didn't realize that you could make a real, you know, full-blown tutorial, even for training, you could do with video. And
Keynote's great. Look what we use nice Keynote stuff with in video production. You can put all these titles. You can make animations. You got Snap2 Grid. It's actually easier than doing it in Final Cut. You do all the great stuff, save it out as Square Pixel.
Yeah.
Save it as a QuickTime movie and drop it the timeline.
Yeah.
In Final Cut. Bang, man, it rocks.
It's fantastic.
It is.
It is an amazingly great program. It's
quick and easy. I mean, if you want to spend a little bit more time, you can do some really great stuff with motion. But, you know, it's really nice to add a lot of cool stuff to your videos, even if you're doing it in, you know, iMovie.
Oh, yeah.
You can make some nice stuff with, you know, with Keynote.
Oh, yeah.
It's more than just presentation software.
Way more. Oh, yeah. And we talked a little bit about getting rid of your... we talked a little bit about the news about, like, that the CD player may go away. Maybe go away the 8-track tape.
I don't know. You know, it's really interesting. You know, and I think about the CD and I think about radio. You know, everybody thinks, well, radio's dying. But, you know, doing a lot of traveling, renting a lot of cars. I had this new Chrysler I was driving.
Yeah.
Last week.
Big.
Well, it was a minivan, actually.
Oh,
I got the
real
family
big
truckster. But, you know, it's got the new digital radio stuff in it. I'm in Memphis, and I'm driving around, and the radio station ID now says, you know, W, whatever the station was, Memphis.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
The Rock, and then it actually has the deal, and it tells you the name of the song while it's playing. So, you know, now the stations are sending out digital information with their feeds. So it almost looks like a playlist thing reading off on the radio display.
Yeah.
But it's in high def, too, HD radio.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, I could see the CD deal dying off, but I don't know.
I think radio is always going to be there. I mean, I don't think there's any reason that radio would ever have to go away. You know, there's always going to be a market for it. You know, it's like,
but the CD could
go away
to some other higher format deal. And then you got all the commies that want to kill DRM.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I buy a lot of songs and stuff in iTunes, and you do too.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's hampered my way to use that content for what I want.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing about it. I don't find it restrictive.
I can't see there's a DRM. If you take a movie out and drag it to the desktop and then try to do something with it, it won't let you. But if you're trying to use it in, you know, matter of fact, I've actually dragged movies out of QuickTime, out of iTunes, onto the desktop. They'll play in the QuickTime window if it's on your machine. It's
Sure they will. Oh, yeah, they will play in the QuickTime. But you can't actually drag those into iMovie or something because there is some
DRM stuff for the music, I don't know. I think people are just whining because of Apple's popularity with iTunes and the whole iPod.
I think it's a subversive effort to make everything in the world free, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, hey, we got about 30 seconds. I want to thank our guests today. We had Philip Hodges, Andy Shallett, Sam Levin, Kevin Ames with his fireworks tips, Bob Dr. McElevitis. We had Dino Orlando, Richard Harrington from Red Pixel. You've been joined here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright and the sponsors of the Inside Mac radio program, Micromat, MCE Technologies, DVD XDV, and our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be back next week with more great stuff about your Mac.